So I want you to imagine a scene for a moment. You're in the East Room of the White House. A foreign head of state is meeting the U.S. president. You see the cameras flashing, the handshakes are firm, the conversation seems effortless. But what you're seeing is just the final product. It's the result of maybe a year's worth of incredibly stressful, detail-oriented work. That moment, the meeting itself, isn't really the story. The real story is the massive effort behind it. We're talking hundreds of people, thousands of hours of planning, all to make a five-minute handshake secure and productive. It's just the tip of a huge diplomatic iceberg. Okay, let's unpack this, because the source material we're looking at today takes that exact scenario, that intense, high-stakes diplomatic prep, and uses it as a powerful metaphor. It's a metaphor for approaching a spiritual figure they call the Supreme Commander. And it just immediately flips the script on how we might think about spiritual access.
It really does. And that is precisely our mission in this deep dive. We're digging into the sources argument that a kind of, let's call it a pre-meeting conditioning, is absolutely mandatory. Whether you're prepping for a global summit or for, you know, a deep spiritual encounter, the seriousness of the meeting and the position of the people involved, it demands this comprehensive, intentional preparation beforehand.
And the sources are so clear that the seriousness is what drives all the protocol. You can't just call up the White House and say you're dropping by. Okay. You just show up at the doorstep unannounced.
Right.
Because you risk huge national security gaffes, you risk procedural breakdowns, and you risk fundamentally failing to show the respect that the office requires.
Exactly. And the source spends a good amount of time just detailing the sheer scope of that diplomatic operation, really to establish a benchmark for us. We're talking about a multi-agency, months-long commitment. All of these resources are designed to eliminate every external threat and any internal ambiguity. And this whole effort, according to what we read, it breaks down into three main interconnected phases. The first one is protocol and diplomatic preparations. And this isn't just about making things look nice. It covers the precise meeting agenda, making sure every objective is understood on both sides.
So no surprises.
Zero surprises. It defines seating arrangements, which says a lot about hierarchy and status. It determines meal preparations, the exchange of gifts. I mean, every detail is a diplomatic signal. It's all about structuring the interaction to maximize honor and prevent any offense.
It's the entire relational framework of the visit.
Right.
And then layered on top of that, you have the external requirements that make the meeting even possible. The massive security arrangements.
Right. And this involves every level of government. You've got federal agencies, local police, sometimes even military assets. All of them are coordinating to maintain stability and safety for the whole visit. Their one job is to neutralize threats and secure the environment. An unbreachable perimeter.
And that third phase is just the sheer volume of supporting details. The logistical preparations, this is managing everything else. The press briefings, meticulously vetting guest lists for every single event, coordinating room prep, scheduling tours.
It's the operational scaffolding, really. It allows the main meeting to happen seamlessly.
And the insight here, this is where the comparison just gets so powerful, is that we have this incredibly high standard for approaching a human leader. So if the respect shown to a human office requires this much focused effort just for two people to talk without incident, the source is forcing you to ask, what kind of conditioning is required when approaching a divine holy power?
It immediately raises a question about the kind of spiritual audit we perform on ourselves. We get that external protocol is mandatory in diplomacy, but we often forget that internal protocol is mandatory in divine fellowship. You can't afford the spiritual equivalent of showing up with an unvetted agenda or, you know, internal security risks.
And that realization, that deep need for preparation, it brings us right to the spiritual application. The historical example of King David.
Oh.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because we're not talking about a stranger here. We're talking about a man the text describes as being after God's own heart.
We turn to Psalm 51, and it is a brutally honest internal documentation of a spiritual crisis. David was the anointed king, a towering figure, yet his relationship with the Lord just. It suffered a catastrophic rupture. This is after his adultery with Bathsheba and his actions against her husband. And the source material focuses so intensely on the consequence of that. David's previously intimate, close fellowship with the Lord was broken. He didn't just feel guilty, he felt separated. This powerful man understood that the gravity of his sin had built a massive barrier between himself and a holy God. He was, in effect, internally disqualified from the relationship.
That's such a powerful moment of realization. It mirrors that diplomatic reality of just showing up unannounced. David knew, intuitively, he couldn't just resume the relationship where it left off. He couldn't show up at the doorstep, to use the source's phrase, with an unrepentant, sinful heart. He knew he needed a specific, deliberate spiritual conditioning, and that meant his focus had to shift entirely inward.
And this is where the analogy softens a bit. It moves away from a rigid checklist and toward really fundamental transformation. David's preparation wasn't about external procedure. It was entirely focused on the structural integrity of his soul. His prayer for preparation, which is captured in Psalm 51, verses 10-12, it directs all his effort toward internal renewal. He's asking the divine to do the overhaul he can't manage himself.
That's the key difference, isn't it? Diplomatic protocol is done by hundreds of people. David's protocol is a request for divine intervention in his own heart. Let's break down that core request because it really functions as his internal pre-meeting protocol.
Okay, so his first request is for fundamental internal purity. He prays, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Notice that language, create and renew. This is not just wiping the surface clean. This is asking for a structural engineering job on the deepest part of his being.
A clean heart, a right spirit. So, freedom from sin's power and alignment with the divine will.
Exactly. And then he moves immediately to reconnection and security. This mirrors the security arrangements of a diplomatic meeting.
Right. Trying to prevent any separation.
He prays, "Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." This isn't just a wish. It's an urgent request for his internal security clearance to be reinstated. He wants to secure his access.
If we connect that back, David realizes his internal threats, his own unrepentant sin, were so much more dangerous to the relationship than any external enemy could ever be. The prayer is a desperate appeal for a secure, stable relationship.
And finally, he seeks restoration and operational logistics, kind of a spiritual recovery package. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." It's an entire system overhaul. He's asking not just for forgiveness, but for the return of the experiential joy of the relationship, which he had lost.
What's fascinating here is David is doing this internal audit. He's addressing his unbroken protocol before he dares to approach the sovereign. He gets that while grace is available, it doesn't just cancel out the need for preparation. This preparation is what ensures his heart is clean, his spirit is right, and he is secure from sin's distractions before he even starts the conversation.
Wait, I have to stop you there, because the source argues for this really intense preparation, and it can sound like this intricate checklist. But isn't the whole point of grace and fellowship that we can approach freely without having to check off a bunch of boxes? I mean, does this kind of preparation risk turning a spiritual connection into a cold transactional exchange?
That's an excellent question, and the source actually addresses it by drawing a line between access and intimacy. We have access to the throne of grace, that ability to approach the divine because of what the supreme commander has done. That access is free. But David's preparation isn't a prerequisite for access. It's a prerequisite for intimate, beneficial fellowship. He's not earning the right to talk. He's conditioning his heart so he's able to receive and respond to the holiness of the one he's meeting. The preparation ensures the heart is pliable, not transactional.
Okay, that clarifies the intention. It's about receptivity, not performance. And that focus on receptivity brings us right back to the identity of the person being approached. Our sources call him the Supreme Commander, identified as Jesus, and that demands the preparation be, well, equally supreme.
And the sources use very specific, very powerful language to define this status. It's taken directly from Colossians 2, verses 9-10. We have the exact quote right here. "In Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority."
That phrase, "the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily," that is the entire premise for why reverence and preparation are mandatory. It implies absolute sovereignty, absolute holiness, absolute authority. You approach this figure not as a peer, but with the specific reverential respect that this status demands.
And the source is explicit. The essential requirement is taking the time to complete that internal process because he is holy.
Mm.
That holiness demands we don't treat the moment of meeting as casual, but is intentional.
Which brings us back to those practical, reflective questions the source material poses. They link David's internal audit right back to that original diplomatic analogy. If you're meeting the Supreme Commander, you have to evaluate your own readiness.
And the questions are designed to make you think based on those three diplomatic protocols.
Mm-hmm.
So first, do you prepare a clean heart? That's the internal purity. Second, are you secure from the distractions and ruptures caused by unaddressed sin? That's your internal security arrangements. And third, is your agenda for approaching the throne of grace clear and concise? Do you know why you're coming?
And there's one more crucial connection point using that White House analogy. It's all about communication. The source asks, do you humbly request that your lines of communication be reconnected with the chief of staff?
And the source identifies the chief of staff as the Holy Spirit. What's fascinating here is they use that specific title chief of staff to highlight a very specific function.
Right. In diplomacy, the chief of staff manages access, clears the schedule, ensures the smooth flow of critical information to and from the commander. By giving the Holy Spirit that title, the source is highlighting his role in facilitating and securing our conversation, our connection with the divine commander.
So if you don't secure that line with the chief of staff, you're essentially trying to bypass the very internal mechanism designed to keep your connection clear and stable. It's a holistic system.
And when that internal preparation process is respected, when it's completed, when you approach the Supreme Commander with that humility and reverence, the sources promise a direct and comprehensive outcome. The preparation isn't the goal, the result is.
And they detail very specific, tangible benefits that come from this conditioning. The initial foundational diplomatic prize you receive is this. You will receive him as wisdom, a foundational piece of knowledge and practical guidance.
And wisdom is essential, but the benefits don't stop there. The source explains that by being properly conditioned and approaching him, all the benefits of being joined together with the Supreme Commander become available. This includes a really deep relational and emotional stability.
And the list is comprehensive. It really outlines the internal structure of a life lived in that secure fellowship. Love, joy, peace, self-control, kindness, patience, gentleness, goodness, and faithfulness. I mean, that's just a profound list. It reads like the outcome of a successful, stable diplomatic relationship.
And if we connect that to the big picture, the preparation, that internal process based on David's prayer for a new heart is defined as the essential key to unlock all of those benefits. If your heart isn't clean or secure, those benefits, that stable structure of peace and patience, they can't take root. The condition of the heart you bring to the meeting determines the depth of what you receive from the meeting.
So we started this deep dive with the crushing intensity of presidential diplomacy. Hundreds of people working tirelessly to ensure one stable, honorable meeting. And we ended up looking inward at the desperate, humble request for heart preparation from King David. So what does this all mean? The sources are really asking us to audit our spiritual calendar and our internal systems. It means recognizing that the gravity of meeting a holy sovereign requires the same, if not greater, intentional preparation than meeting a human one. Just as the White House demands intense protocol for security and effectiveness, the spiritual approach demands that preparation of the heart, that clean heart, that right spirit for a truly effective connection.
Which raises an important question for you to think about, building on this necessity of preparation. The source emphasizes that the ultimate reward of approaching Jesus is receiving foundational wisdom. So if you had to focus your internal resources and master only one aspect of the preparation we discussed today, securing the clean heart, ensuring security from sin, or developing a clear agenda, which single aspect would you focus on first to ensure you are truly ready to receive that foundational gift of wisdom?
An excellent thought to leave with us. The preparation is the protocol, and the secure connection is the reward. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the necessity of reverence and internal preparation.